I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of... Fuck me. What's going on, Mason?
Great start. Incredible.
I don't
get it. Big
day. Big day. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Caravan of Garbage, where, yes, we're going to be going through the first three Jurassic Park movies, aren't we, Mason? That's right.
We can't obviously use the licensed music.
No.
They'll come for us. Amblin Entertainment will send some dinos after us.
They'll fly in on a little bicycle.
That's right.
And decapitate us.
With radios.
That's right.
With photoshopped radios. That Kathleen Kennedy will come for us.
I got some Kathleen Kennedy information in this. But anyways, if people could leave a like on this video, that would be terrific. But before we get into all things Jurassic Park, Mason, say that dumb thing you think about Jurassic Park. Say the thing, Mason, that is obviously wrong.
The dumb thing that I say, James, is that as far as I'm concerned, every movie in the Jurassic Park / World franchise is of roughly the same quality. Now, bearing in mind, I haven't seen some of them.
That's ridiculous.
But I stand by the thing.
But you haven't seen two or three.
Correct,
which
yes.
We'll be covering. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting to come back to every week to see whether or not, you know, your opinion kind of shifts on that, because they kind of go in, you know, interesting and strange and, you know, I think some good directions.
That being said, I have seen, of course, the most recent two Jurassic World movies.
Yes.
And I cannot recall a single thing that happens in any of them. So in order to fairly judge the sequels, I might have to rewatch the World movies
again. Wow.
Yeah, right?
That's incredible. Mm. What an incredible thing you're doing.
But it's interesting though, isn't it?
I think this one
is full of wonder and magic or what have you. But the Jurassic World movies are like, what if we put a Margaritaville in? You know, I think that's a fascinating, people like, okay, well, actually, the Jurassic World movies, they're just completely, they're absolutely nothing because it's just a boring park or whatever. Yeah, but that's the...
It's kind of the point, yeah.
It's heavy-handed satire, and I love that, James. Oh. I remembered a thing, Margaritaville.
There you go, you remembered a thing. Well, it's interesting you say that because Steven Spielberg, in getting this movie, he knew that Michael Crichton was working on this book, which came out, you know, I think around 1990, and he was like, my God, I need this book. So apparently they paid $2 million for the rights. Not just the book, I want to make a movie of the book.
Steven, you can stop at the airport and get this book.
So Michael Crichton was paid $2 million for the rights to the novel before it was published. James Cameron was reading it and was like, I want this, right?
Oh, this is a kind
Give me
of,
it.
This is kind of the director equivalent of Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger fighting over various roles.
Yes, like Stop on My Mom Will Shoot.
Is it going to be revealed that James Cameron actually didn't want Jurassic Park because he thought dinosaurs were stupid, and in the end he's like, ha, 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 ha. Enjoy throwing $2 million down the toilet, Spielberg.
No, not at all. He wanted to make a version that was more frightening, and I guess also in line with a couple of things, one being Aliens, which he also directed, and also the book is quite dark, and it's got
And dull.
I don't think so. Have you read it?
Yeah.
I like it.
There's a lot of computer diagrams.
Well, that is certainly true.
Well, what's fascinating about it, because this is, I believe, the second Michael Crichton-based franchise we have discussed, because we've also talked about
the movie Congo in our normal everyday lives.
Yeah, we talk about that constantly. But on this video series, we've also talked about the movie Westworld.
Ah, Westworld.
Which is also a Michael Crichton creation.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think what we learned from that one is that while Michael Crichton is great at inventing incredible worlds,
yeah,
he's perhaps not great at putting a narrative through that world.
Sure.
He needs a director like Spielberg to just really, really, really ramp up that tension, you know?
And the magic. Yeah, magic. You're absolutely right. So one of the things, and James Cameron has even admitted to this begrudgingly, not begrudgingly, he seemed very happy to say this, was that Spielberg was the right choice for this because Spielberg came at it from his perspective from when he was a kid of this like wonder and awe of dinosaurs and, you know, the Ray Harryhausen era and King Kong and all of those things. So things from the book that like John Hammond is basically evil Walt Disney and he gets like a big comeuppance. Stuff like that was just taken out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the weirder and dark stuff was mostly taken out. And even things like Alan Grant and Ali Sattler, they're like a mentor and mentee in that. They're not in a relationship because he's much older. But this, they're like, nah, they can be in love and do kisses, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
No, just bring some of the magic, you know what I mean? Because a man and a woman can't be friends. Is Steven Spielberg's point. That's the point he was making.
He's putting his foot down.
Yeah. What I think it does really well, though, to kind of sell that, well, there's obviously the dinosaurs, but it's also that every single person...
I didn't see any dinosaurs.
Okay, fair enough. Is that every single main character in this, despite their skepticism at various points through the movie, they do have moments of like, oh my God. Like even the lawyers, like from his perspective, is like, it's obviously a money-making thing, but even he's taken aback by the awe of it.
Even a lawyer, a man with lizard DNA.
Yeah, that's right.
Is filled with awe and wonder at the sight of these dinosaurs. What's interesting, my because I haven't seen this in a number of years, some of the stuff that jumped out at me, first of all...
The dinosaurs. They go, rah.
I didn't see any. But that Hammond wants Grant and Sadler to visit Jurassic Park so they can like sign off on the park's authenticity for the investors.
William Sadler, yes.
Which is fascinating because these days they'd be like, we don't need accuracy.
No.
Who cares?
Yeah, shut up. What are you saying right now? And also, I love it that, you know, he brings them
these
in.
These days they're just bringing influencers, right?
Yeah, that's right. And they just take a selfie with or whatever and then you're off, aren't you? But I think one of the things this movie does really well is...
Mr. Beast would be there and be like, I'm going to create a real-life Jurassic Park. And they'd be like, Mr. Beast, you're already in a Jurassic Park.
Yeah, this is
happening. We've done it already.
I think one of the things that's really great about this movie is that it's kind of cast like Star Wars. Like, you've got, like, Richard Attenborough, who I guess, you know, he's your old-school kind of British actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But everyone else is not unknown, but kind of... You know, Jeff Goldblum's in The Fly. Sam Neill was in various projects, you know what I mean, prior to that.
We've caught you attempting to think of an Australian or New Zealand movie and you can't do it.
The one where he's blind. The one where he's blind, Mason. Or maybe Hugo Weaving's blind.
That's proof.
Hugo Weaving movie. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Now, there's a couple of reasons I think this works. One, because it's cheap, which means you can, you know, you bring the budget right down. Apparently, they wanted Kurt Russell initially for Alan Grant, or he was one of the many names, and he wanted an exorbitant fee, you know, and they were like, no, absolutely not. So they got...
Because he's got that Disney blessing, you know?
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm. That's a fun fact people should look up. Or here it is on the screen, just quickly. Ah, you missed it. So, and also, them being relatively unknown, I think works. You know, as opposed to like getting big name actors to run around and be like, I'm a paleontologist. You're like, you're not a paleontologist. You're Meg Ryan or whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
Who's a famous person.
In that era, she was very famous.
That's right. And still famous, Mason. But I think also, here's something that's fascinating to me. One of the criticisms of this movie at the time was, and this quote is from Variety, but there's...
It'll be roughly the same quality as its sequels?
No, Mason. This quote is from Variety, and there's a bunch of others that are pretty much along these lines, that the characters are one-dimensional. And I think, especially compared to, like, the newer ones, but on first viewing, I think all you would take away from this was, man, those dinosaurs, hey? But there are so many good... character moments in this that that have become more iconic, you know, over the years. You know, little laughs, little quips.
Ellie Sattler is sassy.
It's Sattler, by the way.
It's Sattler.
It's Sattler.
Oh, well.
It might not be.
Okay. Ian Malcolm is horny.
Yes.
Alan Grant takes a huge amount of glee frightening and traumatizing children. And he does it the entire time.
He certainly does, doesn't he?
Whether it be threatening a child with a claw or... pretending he's being electrocuted and leaving them alone in a park filled with dinosaurs. He'll do it.
He'll do it.
He loves it.
Yeah. And speaking of the park, one of the things I love about this movie is that it never feels like a safe place. For one, just look at all those 1990s computer interfaces, and I'm like, oh no, I remember stuff like this. Just not good to navigate.
That was your fear, wasn't it?
That was my fear.
Not that you're in a, you're stranded on an island with dinosaurs.
But no.
You wouldn't get internet access.
I'd see that weird floating park system where you got to lock and unlock the doors, and I'm like, none of this is labeled. It's just all 3D boxes, I'm flying through space.
Oh, the worst. I mean, just a nod to what people thought future computers would be at the time. The flying through boxes, the turning DNA with virtual reality gloves.
Oh, yeah. Love all of that.
Beautiful.
But even things like there's no seatbelts on the cars. There's, you know, the dinosaur embryos.
Yeah, there's no bloody seatbelts in life, let me tell you that much.
That's very true, except for in cars. But
oh,
yeah.
There's tons, yeah.
Yeah. There's even spelling errors on the dinosaur embryos. Now, that's probably, like, a mistake on the production side, but I like the idea of just being like, who cares? You know what I mean?
Engineers can't spell.
Yeah, and it's also, like, it's a shoddily and quickly made park. Like, it's poorly designed.
It's interesting that right at the start of the movie, they're trying to get a raptor into its cage.
Yeah.
And in order to get that raptor in the cage, you have to get one guy to stand precariously on top of the cage and open a gate while it's just wobbling and the dinosaur's trying to slash at you.
Yeah.
What an incredible system.
I agree. So I wanted to talk about this system and in particular the character of Dennis Nedry.
Okay.
Who people refer to as a villain because of his villainous activities.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But I would argue he's just a man who was severely underpaid. So the background of this character in the movie is...
And they keep calling him fat.
And they keep saying that, and it's rude. Don't do that.
At one point, all right, I mean, it's rude, but also there is a great line where Hammond at one point is like, where's Nedry? Check the vending machines.
Check if he's stuck in the vending machines like Homer Simpson. So InGen, apparently... Fuck me. Oh, man, I need to go to a vending machine for a cough drop, Mason.
Oh, yes.
Do you like this extended material that I leave in?
That's okay. Terrific. Yeah, no, I love it.
Yeah, good. So John Hammond's company, InGen, they held a bidding war for the position of lead programmer, right? Okay. So Nedry won this, and upon being introduced to his position on Isla Nublar, he found that he had severely underbid on the job. And there was just an immense amount of technical issues and all this crazy programming that he hadn't anticipated. And it's mostly him and Samuel L. Jackson who's just punching darts the entire time. Great cigarette in mouth acting, by the way. Some of my favorite work.
Great cigarette in mouth acting. What I loved about it is that it was a abnormally subdued performance by Samuel L. Jackson for a bit. But you cannot hold him back for too much longer.
No.
You cannot hold him back too long before he just explodes into full Samuel Jackson at some point.
You're absolutely right. So yeah, this unexpected larger workload and then his low salary, that's the reason he went out of his way to kind of get paid properly. And I think... just
by potentially getting everybody killed.
Yeah, give him more money, you know? I mean, yeah, he's not a great guy, but what are you doing? Spared no expense. He keeps saying that, but it's just, you look around and it's just not true. Why are there like 8 staff? You know what I mean?
Great point.
There's like a lot of scientists and then like 8 blokes just being like, this is fucked. This is out of control.
Spent a lot of money and time on that sort of platform that the park guests turn on so they can see scientists at work. Not a lot on programming safety features, hey.
Was it John Hammond's plan to just do every one of those tours? Just do it like 8 times a day, taking everybody through? I mean, he's a showman. He had his flea circus. So that's what he wants to do. He wants to be up front and he wants to do his little sing and dance kind of song and dance act, right?
I mean, maybe for a while, but I'd imagine, you know.
They bring in an animatronic.
Sure, yeah, or a lookalike.
Or a lookalike.
Or David Attenborough.
Yeah, why not? He's cheap, isn't he?
I think so. Yeah. Sure, yeah.
I want to talk about bringing dinosaurs to life. Okay. Not literally, Mason. Ask me if they can make a Jurassic Park now.
Can they do it?
No, Mason, don't be an idiot. We're obviously not there yet.
Oh, my sense of wonder.
I do want to say, though, you know the bit where everyone's like, you shouldn't do this. This is a bad idea. Nah, 100% do it. I don't care. Like, just do it. Put some good fences up. Maybe maybe a moat. I don't know. You know what I mean?
You're a big picture guy.
Yeah. Don't, like, alter their DNA because, you know, they'll alter it back and then they can breed. Just, like, neuter them with, like, big, like,
hedge. Bolt cutters.
Yeah, bolt cutters. That'll do it. Wow. It'll be fine. Don't even worry about it. But anyways, to bring them to life, there's a few things at play here. A lot of things, actually. I feel like it's the culmination of old and new technology just working in perfect harmony. You know what I mean?
Go on.
So Stan Winston did, well, with his team.
Oh, I thought you meant in the narrative of the movie. I was going to say DNA.
No, no, no. Oh, there is the DNA, yes. Yeah.
B.D. Wong
yes.
is involved, of course.
There he is.
I spent every scene that he was in like searching for signs he was going to go bad.
Yeah.
But he never did.
He didn't even have a mustache.
Didn't even have a mustache at the time.
Well, I don't think he does now either, but, you know.
B.D. Wong, you devil. You absolute devil.
But so, yeah, there were the Stan Winston suits, like the Raptor suits, for example. There's like people like hunched over in those, very uncomfortable. But, they're, you know, they're very realistic. There's an enormous T-Rex rig that could bend and snap, like, you know, really, really quickly. It got bogged down with water at one point because, you know, the scene in the rain. So it would like jutter, like, and people were like, oh, you know what I mean? Very nervous situation.
Had to get a crew member to squeeze it out.
Yes. Well, they were coming in just like hitting it with towels, you know what I mean? Trying to dry it off. So they actually initially got Phil Tippett, who came in to do Go Motion, which is like an advanced version of stop motion, right? And he hired a whole team to complete the 50 shots that were required. And if you see it, like, yeah, it's incredible, right? But Steven Spielberg was like, this is too jerky. I'm not really sure this is the way to go. So a couple of guys, Steve Williams and Mark A.Z. Dipp, were hired just originally create like motion blur for the stop motion dinosaurs. So you get rid of some of that jank. And they were expressly forbade from developing a computer generated T-Rex or anything like that.
Interesting.
So they did it anyway. They put it up on a monitor. Kathleen Kennedy walked past and
Kathleen Kennedy.
I know, right? Because she was obviously Spielberg's producer for years. And also a very good producer. I just want to point out. She's like put together some amazing movies. And she walked past, not by chance, like they set it up and she was like, what's that? And so she told Spielberg. And then they were hired to do this work, basically putting Phil Tippett and his team out of work.
Whoa.
That line of like, and a lot of people know this, maybe you even, like, I think we're extinct. That was his reaction to seeing that, just being like, oh my God, my life's work.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's probably held a grudge.
Well, no.
He hasn't snuck to those guys' workplace and with a can of fake can of shaving cream and put all their USB sticks in and snuck out with it.
Maybe he did.
Because by your logic, James, he'd be perfectly justified doing it, wouldn't he?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying I understand his motivations, Mason.
Do you think Nedry should come back?
Yes. Right. I mean, he can't, but yes.
He could come back. We don't see him torn to shreds.
That's true.
Maybe he beat that little spitty dinosaur in single combat in that truck.
Maybe he did.
And he retrieved the shaving can, and he went off, and now he's infused with dinosaur DNA.
Wow.
In the new one. We haven't seen it yet.
That would be incredible. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Phil Tippett, they actually got him back to create these dinosaur input devices, or DIDs, where basically he's doing stop motion with these electronic devices, which then transfer that kind of movement to the computer models.
Uh-huh.
So they ended up using like him for that. He also did a bunch of stop motion animatics for like the scenes with the T-Rex and the cars and the raptors in the kitchen. So he didn't get completely put out of work, but still, this was basically the death of stop motion in big budget movies. You know what I mean? Other than, you know, it still exists, but.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
You don't see a movie like this really using stop motion anymore.
Wow.
And it's your fault, is what I'm saying. That T-Rex scene, though.
Go on.
My goodness. Just incredible moments.
Which T-Rex?
It busts down the fence. You see it being pinged apart. It comes down next to the car and the pupil dilates when the light hits it. Obviously, the toilet bit, Mason.
The toilet bit.
That whole sequence.
Was that lawyer wearing shorts the whole time?
I think he was.
Like walking shorts and a suit jacket? Yeah.
But don't you just think that whole sequence is just... It's phenomenal,
it is.
Right?
Yeah.
It's probably better than anything else in any other Jurassic Park movie.
No, I don't know.
Or at very least equal to.
Have you seen Jimmy Buffett running down the street? He's got holding two margaritas.
he does have two margaritas. Yeah.
What about that scene where that woman is unnecessarily torn to shreds for the crime of being a bad babysitter?
You said that was your favorite part of the movie.
Yep.
Both of us think that.
Apparently, I learned recently that actor requested a horrible death.
Oh, okay.
Why she got one.
Okay, great.
It wasn't the filmmakers being unnecessarily cruel.
But yeah, I just think there's so many wonderful sequences and they've clearly been mapped out perfectly to use both suits and then CGI. And you can now tell, you know, if a raptor's jumping on a kitchen bench, you know what's up.
Do know what's
but
up.
I just think the way it transitions between puppetry and CGI is incredible. And it really does, like, I know we talked about aliens in the start, where I said aliens and you went, oh, really?
Mm.
It does kind of turn into aliens.
I'm doing it again.
It does kind of turn into aliens
for sure.
at the end, right? Yeah. And here's a fun little fact that I saw, probably on IMBD trivia.
Go on.
IMBD Wong trivia.
Oh.
So the big velociraptor, it appears to only kill for fun in order to get revenge, right? Because she understands that she's been locked up against her will. So she's not the one that kills Robert Muldoon. She's the one ahead. Because if she had have started eating people, she would have been like, I'm full, I don't want to hunt. So she doesn't eat anybody. She's just killing people.
Interesting. Yeah. There you go.
I think that's terrific.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what's terrific about this movie? So many iconic lines. Speaking of Muldoon, ooh, clever girl.
Yeah. What about the bit, that weird laugh that Jeff Goldblum does? I can't do it. You know?
Sure.
That's good. I like that a lot. Any more iconic lines?
The one where Goldblum. It's all Goldblum.
What about I was going to say, what about the big pile of shit line? That's also him, isn't it?
It's true. Or like, so preoccupied with whether or not they... And think about whether or not they should.
Perfect.
I loved how Hammond just invited just a bunch of esteemed doctors to his place just to evaluate it. They just rinsed him at
the
dinner.
The entire time.
This whole idea sucks. No sugarcoating at all. This is bad. You're a bad person.
Yeah, you're right.
This is going to go wrong. You're going to lose your business.
Yeah. You do kind of feel...
You've got a stupid hat.
You feel... He actually initially had a death scene where raptor clawed his chest. He dies in the book as well. Yep. He gets eaten by compies. But he's a bad dude in the book. Like, he doesn't care about his grandkids. He's like, fuck them, whatever. You know, I kind of like the way they turned him into this, like, I'm the greatest showman. I'm Hugh Jackman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you get that vibe?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you know about the original ending to this? Then you can tell us.
I don't.
I'll tell you.
But I will. Here we go.
Okay.
They all team up and go out for ice cream. That's right. The humans and the dinosaurs.
Oh, that's lovely.
Mm. Dinosaurs die because they're lactose intolerant.
I feel like the dinosaurs having ice cream with humans could be something that happens in the newer movies.
Yep.
Yeah. So in the original script, and I don't think this is good, and I'm glad they took it out, the T-Rex skeleton in the lobby... That was hooked up.
James Skellington.
The T-Rex Skellington in the lobby. It was hooked. Thank you. It was hooked up to pulleys, and Alan Grant kind of puppets it to kind of kill the raptors. Right?
Oh.
He stomps them and crushes them in its mouth.
Is the living T-Rex involved somehow?
No, not at all.
Oh.
So Spielberg was like, "We need to get the T-Rex back, and we're going to make her a good person or a good dinosaur for the rest of these movies, and this is the turning point.
Sure,
where it just happens to save these people." Mm-hmm. And look, there's been a lot of talk.
And then salute the American flag with its tiny little hands. You can't really tell, but...
No, And there's also been, you know, a complaint of this movie, or people call it a mistake of like, how did nobody hear the T-Rex kind of snake in at the end?
Tippy toes.
Or that.
Phil Tippy toes. It's Phil Tippett toes.
I was going to say John Williams' beautiful score, but yeah, that also. If you got that blaring, you're not going to hear it. Great score. That's my way of saying this was a great score, et cetera, and
terrific.
So forth. Including also shout out to the sound design, which was led by Gary Rydstrom. So things like redwoods were cut down and hit the ground, and that's the T-Rex stomping noises. Ah. All the sound design in this is top-notch, Mason. Mm. And I defy you to say something bad about it.
I mean, I can do it, probably. I think it's
Could be louder?
Could be louder, but I mean, that might be an issue with my television.
Sure, okay.
You know, yeah. I can't lay that on those guys.
Yeah.
Can't lay that on Rydstrom.
Maybe he could come around and turn up your television, though.
That would be great if he could offer some sort of service like that. That would be great.
Terrific. Now, in the original novel, the armed forces of Costa Rica, who apparently haven't existed since like the 40s, they just come in and they carpet bomb the island.
Oh, no.
And that's how things end.
Yeah.
On this original island. That's why in the sequel, in the book, they have to go to Site B.
Because ice like, cream.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I mean, they end up destroying that island anyway in the movies.
B stands for Bubble O Bill.
Wow, I love a Bubble O Bill. And by that, I mean I eat it and I go, actually, this isn't very good. I've misremembered this. Mm-hmm. And this chewing gum nose, it's not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I always thought as a kid, Mason.
Go on.
By the way, I loved this movie as a kid. It melted my brain.
Oh, you're not talking about Bubble O Bills. This isn't a childhood story about Bubble O Bills.
I mean, it could be.
Yeah.
These things are, you know, they're probably linked in my mind. I always thought that the shaving cream can was going to be something, you know?
Like it's Chekhov's shaving cream
can.
Yeah,
you see it dropped, it's covered in mud, and you're like, oh, okay.
It was going to return in a sequel. See, I haven't seen the two Jurassic Park sequels, so it doesn't reoccur again.
Well, so Steven Spielberg put it in intentionally to put it in the sequel, right? Or like somewhere down the line, but the book goes in a different direction. However, the show Camp Cretaceous, it actually reappears in season 5. I don't think it plays like a huge role, but you know, it's there.
Someone shaves with it.
Yeah, I mean, but also at that point, they made all the dinosaurs again. They don't need it.
That's true. Here's a question.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll find this out in subsequent movies. The man who was purchasing the embryos, does he reoccur again?
Wow. Who's
that? What's that?
That is a great question, and I have the answer.
Okay, who is the rival company? Do they return again?
I can't remember the name.
Terrific.
But so Cameron Thorpe, he was actually up for Ian Malcolm initially, right?
This is the actor.
The actor, yes. But for the latest movie, that character of Dogson was recast, right?
Okay.
With
Dogson being the man who wanted to buy the embryos.
Exactly. Okay. And he wears the little hat, right? Mm. Now, the reason it was recast is because he spent about 6 years in jail as a registered sex offender.
Oh.
So, yeah. So that's, I think that character appears in the sequel book, I'm pretty confident.
Okay.
But he's only now just reappearing again in the 6th movie.
Oh.
So there you go. Also, you might be like,
now, is that the one that's still to come?
That's the one that's still to come.
That's Jurassic World 3, Jurassic Park 6.
Correct.
Okay, great.
Now, are you one of those guys that are like, I love dinosaurs and I hate all the inaccuracies in this?
No.
Well, Mason, there's so many dinosaur inaccuracies in this.
I don't care. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, so for example,
I'm
right,
indifferent. Anything for example, you say right now, I'll be indifferent.
Yeah, towards. Yeah, yeah. So you know how they're looking for amber? That's in the Dominican Republic. And no dinosaurs that were seen in this film, they were from that era or area. Do you
James,
know what I mean?
I don't care.
Yeah, no, I know. It's crazy, right? Also, Velociraptors, actually the size of a turkey. Crichton actually based them more on the Deinonychus, right? But he's like, that's not a cool name, Velociraptor. Is that something you care about?
I mean, I think I already knew that.
Yep.
And it doesn't affect my life in any way, really.
So. Okay, what about this? They also probably didn't hunt in packs. Like, they'd maybe occasionally snap at the same thing, but they're just like, let's just, I don't know, we don't have to be friends. Let's not work together. They're like Komodo dragons, apparently.
Wow!
Yeah, there we
go. You got me. I got him.
You got me.
All right. Hit me with the next one.
Here we go. How about this one? Actually, a version of dinosaur was discovered right after this called the Utahraptor Spielbergi, which bears a striking resemblance to the raptors in this movie. And that's why it's called that.
Yawn.
Oh,
you've
no.
lost me again. Sorry. Sorry. You shouldn't have had such a boring fact. Boring.
Can I get you back with some of them supposed to have feathers, maybe?
No.
God. I'm like, God. And then also when we say that, people are going to be like, well, not technically. Not all dinosaurs maybe had feathers. Hey, shut up. No one cares. No one cares about feathered dinosaurs.
You're back on my
I'm on board.
There it is.
Also, to be fair, they explain all these inaccuracies in Jurassic World. B.D. Wong's like, you know, we just made what people wanted to see. You know what I mean? And I like that. Just be like, people want to see dinosaurs? Yeah, here's one. That's close enough, isn't it? Now shut up. Do you have any watch trivia? There's a bunch of watches in this. Ian Malcolm's wearing a watch.
Whoa.
Robert Muldoon is wearing a watch.
You know what I did not... I didn't write it down, but I didn't notice any particular models. But I didn't... A thought I had when they're all in the helicopter going to Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a world. Everybody's wearing a watch because nobody had a smartphone
then.
That's
true.
They had to know the time.
Or fly through an interface on a computer to find the time. Okay, fair enough. You better be ready for watch trivia next week, Mason.
Okay, great.
It's coming in hot and fast. Anyways, here's some grand trivia.
Love grand trivia.
This is where we talk about all the amazing facts that I've found on IMDb and various sources. I watched about a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff, Mason.
Oh, yeah.
This is more extensive. They seem manic and, like, unwieldy and they don't make sense. But I trawl through a bunch of crap to get here. You know what I mean?
And it hasn't affected your mental state at all, so
I don't
good.
Think so. I don't think it has at all. The kid Alan Grant spooks at the start. There was a fan theory that that's Owen Grady as a child. You know, the Chris
Pratt character.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not. Okay. Don't worry about it.
Terrific. They could say it is, though.
That's true. Mm. Ariana Richards, who plays Lex, was upset by the fact that an action figure of her character was not produced. Kenner made Grant Sadler, which it is, not Sadler.
I did look it up. You are correct.
I know I'm correct. Mm. Muldoon, Nedry got an action figure. Tim got an action figure. Malcolm got an action figure. She did not get an action figure.
Wow.
Yeah, at the time. Mm. Maybe she has since.
Maybe. Because how would they advertise it?
Yeah.
With Lex with boring nerd action.
She's done some good stuff.
Computer and nerd action.
She grabs the wire when there's
wire-grabbing action.
Yeah, wire-grabbing action. Thank you. What does Tim do?
Karate chops.
He does do a bunch of karate chops in this, yeah. You're right. Actually, Mason, if you examine the setup of the park, this can be seen in the movie.
That being said, if I can just go back to that, it is amazing to me that any of the... there's it's just Ellie and Lex.
Yeah,
but
pretty
much. I'm sort of amazed that Ellie got an action figure as well. Like,
yeah.
It's amazing that they're one for two. That was actually incredible.
You're absolutely right. If you examine the way the park is structured through the computer interfaces, Nedry didn't actually need to shut down any of the fences to get to the dock.
Oh.
But I guess he just did it.
Yeah.
Because you see people during...
And you love that, don't you?
No, I think that's bad, actually. Maybe he is a bad bloke. I thought about it. But here's something that is good about him.
Maybe he could have just gotten a different job.
Yeah, maybe.
At Microsoft.
Maybe he could have. Mm-hmm. Probably would have been less dinosaurs. Mm. I don't know. I can't say how many, but less, I would say.
Probably a similar number of trips to a mysterious island, though. Do you know what I mean? Just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, James.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's something fun about Nedry. His clothing throughout the movie, it's eerily similar, and I would say on purpose, to a bunch of outfits in the Goonies. Like, he's wearing Goonies outfits throughout this film.
Huh.
It's wild.
Was Wayne Knight in the Goonies?
No, but Steven Spielberg produced the Goonies.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So his
Wayne Knight was Will Wheaton in that movie.
His thesis is that at least one of the kids in the Goonies grew up to be a really bad guy.
That's right.
Interesting.
And here's Sam Jackson's quote on returning to the franchise. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, he was supposed to have a scene of him being chased and killed, but there were a bunch of storms while they were filming this and stuff got wrecked and they couldn't film that. So he was like, oh man, that would have been cool to film. But he said, I think about the dude from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Well, whatever his name is, I guess. His name's Ray.
Samuel Jackson's been in 100,000 movies.
I know. I mean, I didn't know his name, to be fair, in this movie. He's somewhere riding around on velociraptors with one arm. He's just on that island riding raptors.
Sounds good to me. See what I'm saying? If you don't see a character die,
yep.
And why wouldn't you put Sam Jackson back in there?
I agree.
You know?
And you know what? You'd put him in because he's a big box office draw. Speaking of box office, here we go.
Ah, nice. Good segue.
On a budget of $63 million.
Oh, my God. That is peanuts these days.
What'd you get for that now?
Morbius.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Cinema's not always it's not always hitting great heights, is it?
That's right.
You know?
I'm Dr. Michael Morbius, and my illness makes me so weak. If only I could infuse myself with dinosaur DNA, I could stalk the streets of New York as half dinosaur man.
It actually made nine... It actually made $978 million, but it's been re-released a number of times, so that's now well over a billion. Spielberg himself made $250 million on this movie alone.
Whoa.
And on top of that, merchandise-wise, over 1,000 individual deals that were created for this movie generated over $1 billion in revenue, including toys, making of books, yogurt, video games, fast food, bread. Do you know what I mean?
Jurassic bread.
So there you go.
Wow.
Anyways.
Maybe like that tiger striped bread, you know? That's
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Feathered bread.
Did you...
Poison spitting bread. Looks like a regular loaf, but you squeeze the sides and...
Did you come around on this? I feel like I was just spitting facts and nonsense.
Yeah.
Do you like this movie?
I do like this movie, yeah.
But do you see that it's incredible, right, at a turning point in cinema?
Yeah, but so are the Jurassic World movies.
Oh my God, Mason. I don't hate those movies, but these are not the same. Mm. They're not the same, Mason.
Mm.
Like, if you put them side by side, if they came out at the same time, they're not the same. But considering the gap that these came out,
yeah.
That's a ludicrous thing to say. And I will kill you, Mason.
That's fair.
There are no objective facts in, like, reviewing a movie, but you are objectively wrong. I'm happy to say that. Anyways, next week, we'll be back for Jurassic Park 2, Jurassic Park The Lost World, number 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jurassic World negative 2.
Yes.
What they call it.
Is that true?
I think so.
They should probably...
Jurassic World. Yeah. Assuming there's not a Jurassic World 0. I don't think there is. So it'd be Jurassic World negative 2.
There's probably a book called Jurassic World 0.
Oh, maybe.
Anyways, this is Caravan of Garbage. Yes, we do this every week. If you do have anything that you would like to see, please leave it below. If you do have a comment on something that we missed that we didn't talk about, please write a comment.
Ian Malcolm's got 3 kids. Do we meet any of the 3 kids?
Yes.
Do we in the sequels?
There's one in the next one, whoa. Yes. That's right. Where are his other kids? I don't know. He left them on another island.
Terrific.
Who knows? Anyways, thanks for watching, everybody. Thank you to Ben and Lawrence for the edit. Also, if you do want to see these early, we have a service called Big Sandwich, which is like our private Patreon. We do movie commentaries, we do bonus podcasts, early videos, including the Caravan of Garbage videos.
That's right.
Fantastic.
It is fantastic.
I agree. And, of course, our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, comes out every Monday and a day early. There! That's enough plugs and goodbye.
Grab that jam, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.